Good morning. It's good to see you all. And first of all, many thanks to the Atlantic Council, the German Marshall Fund, and the Munich Security Conference, and Women in International Security for co-hosting and for organizing this event. I will be very brief in my introduction, and then I will sit down and answer some very difficult questions. I will start by saying that all NATO summits are important, but this summit is in many ways more important than normal NATO summits. Partly because we are confronted with a more complex, a more difficult, a more demanding security environment with new challenges, new threats, a more assertive Russia, but also turmoil, violence to the south of the alliance, Middle East, North Africa. But on top of that, we also have to recognize that there are disagreements, different views between allies. So this is about how the alliance can respond to a demanding security environment, admitting that we don't agree on all issues. Therefore, it is important that this summit demonstrates that despite disagreements, despite frank and open discussions, we will be able to deliver and to make decisions. And I'm confident that we will be able to do that. Because despite the disagreements we see, for instance, on trade, or climate change, or the Iran nuclear deal, or we see the discussion on defense spending. The fact is that NATO has been able to deliver, to make decisions, and actually strengthen what we do together, all 29 allies, and also what we do together, Europe and North America. I think you just heard Prime Minister Trudeau announcing that Canada will lead the battle group in Latvia for 4 more years. And as you know, the US has increased their military presence in Europe over the last years. So what we see on the ground is that Europe and North America are doing more together. We are not weakening the transatlantic bond in NATO. Actually, we have been increasing it. And then the challenge is to make sure that this summit continue to make sure that we are able to continue to do exactly that. I'm confident that we will be able to make the necessary decisions and to show that NATO is delivering. I expect us to agree on strengthening our collective defense by increasing the readiness of forces. We call it the 430s, 30 battalions, 30 air squadrons, 30 battleships ready to move or to be used within 30 days or less. I expect us to, the leaders to agree the new command structure, which is a modernization of the command structure, including 2 new commands, one in Norfolk, Virginia, for the Atlantic, and one in Ulm, Germany, for support logistic in Europe. I am also confident that we'll agree to step up our effort to fight terrorism with a new training mission in Iraq and also sustained support for the Afghan security forces in Afghanistan. Because we strongly believe that prevention is better than intervention. We need to train local forces, enabling them to fight terrorism and to stabilize their own country. And that's the reason why we now are so focused on training, capacity building, to enable them to stabilize their own countries. And then I'm also confident that when we meet in a few hours, we will also agree to recommit to increase defense spending. We all agree that we don't have fair burden sharing in NATO today. Some allies spend 2% of GDP and some much more than that on defense, especially the United States, and other allies spend much less. That's the reason why we agreed in 2014 that we should stop the cuts after decades of cutting defense spending we had to stop the cuts, gradual increase, and then move towards spending 2% of GDP on defense. The good news is that that's exactly what we are doing. All allies, we published figures yesterday, and you can, I guess you can find them on NATO's homepage, an excellent homepage. There you will see that all allies have stopped the cuts, all allies have started to increase, and more allies spend 2% of GDP on defense. This year we expect 8 allies to spend 2% of GDP on defense, compared to 3 back in 2014. And the majority of allies have put forward plans on how to reach 2% within a decade. And let me just tell you that I am aware of that most politicians, they like to spend money on something else than defense. I have been a politician for many years myself, and we like to spend money on health, on education, on infrastructure, and that kind of stuff. And I have told some of you before that when I was Minister of Finance in Norway, I was very good at cutting defense budgets. I know exactly how to do it. But don't tell anyone. But then that was in the 1990s, and then tensions went down. So in one way, it's completely fair to reduce defense spending when tensions are going down after the end of the Cold War. As long as you are able to increase defense spending when tensions are going up as they are now. So therefore, as Prime Minister of Norway, I started to increase defense spending. So I know both how to cut and how to increase. So depending on my message, I use the lines from the time as the Minister of Finance or the Minister of or Prime Minister. Actually, I use the Prime Minister lines more now. So the thing is that allies understand this. And the good news is that we have started to move. Then I'm aware of that some allies would like to see even quicker movement, even higher speed when it comes to increased defense spending, but at least we are moving in the right direction. I promise to be brief, so I will stop with just a final remark and then cover many other issues in the Q&As afterwards. My final point is the following. And that is that a strong NATO is good for Europe and good for the United States. Two world wars and the Cold War taught us that we are stronger together than apart. The US military presence and the presence of Canada in Europe is good for North America. It's good for Europe. But it's also good for North America and especially for the United States. Because it helps the United States to be a global power. The US military presence in Europe is about protecting Europeans, but it's also about projecting US military power into Asia, the Middle East, and Africa. Remember that the US Africa Command is in Stuttgart, Europe. And the military, the economic, the political clout of European allies and Canada is helping to strengthen the United States. No other big power has so many friends and allies as the United States. And European soldiers, Canadian soldiers, have been on the battlefields together with US soldiers all the way from Korea to Afghanistan. And more than 1,000 Canadians and European soldiers pay the ultimate price in Afghanistan. The first time we invoked Article 5 was after an attack on the United States 9/11. So I say this to you because NATO is good for both Europe and North America. We represent together half of the world's military might, half of the world's economic might. So as long as we stand together, we are safe and secure. Thank you so much.